Before we get started, I'd like to invite you to join the LeadGen Lab, a sales program created specifically for women of color in the financial industry. Inside of the LeadGen Lab, we are going to teach you the sales and lead generation strategies you need to triple your sales calls and 10x your leads, so you can finally become that financial powerhouse. This is a six-month container where you will get access to trainings, resources, weekly group coaching, and a community of women of color in finance, and so much more. Go to theroshaw.com/lead-gen-lab or use the link in the show notes to join now. I can't wait to see you inside.
I really was kind of hesitant to approach people because I felt like I can't go talk to anyone if there's nothing posted on my page. I can't go talk to anyone if there's not thousands of people following me. And to this day, I don't even think my following has grown since we started talking. Maybe 10 people have followed me since, and I'm still booking calls every week, multiple times a week. I get 10 hours a week to really bet on myself with this. Is that going to be spent making graphics, or is that going to be spent in the DMs? And the DMs win every time.
Welcome to the Finance Client Acquisition Podcast, the simple sales systems for women of color money experts. And I'm your host, Ro. I'm so excited today to dive deep into the strategies that have helped my clients book out by mastering their sales skills. Today we have an amazing guest on. Her name is Afia. And Afia, I'll let you take it over. Tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you do.
Well, so glad to be here with you, Roma. Thanks for having me. I have been in finance for ever and ever. I actually have been in banking for much of my career. And through that, just learning all the different aspect of financial services, it inspired me to get into financial coaching. I started off kind of just helping family members and eventually branched out into setting it up more business and setting it up as a coaching program over the last three years, really, because it was right around 2019 that I began with that. But of course, as far as helping others and offering financial education, it's been much, much longer prior to that. Additionally, I've recently launched a skincare business selling body exfoliating washnets. So where I grew up in Ghana, we use these nets as like our bath for bathing. Mm-hmm. And it's not really all that common here in the States. And so lately it's kind of been gaining traction. And I had a prior business wholesaling to wellness and skincare businesses. And so I've recently started expanding that and growing to launch that wholesale business as well. But other than that, I'm a mom of three wonderful boys. My husband and I live out here in Dallas, and we're just, taking life day by day. But again, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, of course. And I really want to highlight what you said. You wear many hats, right? You're not only in the financial industry, but you're taking over the e-commerce industry as well, not only as a wholesaler, but then dabbling into retail. And not only that, you have a family, you have a lot of other priorities. Tell us a little bit more about your journey from switching into, the financial industry to the e-commerce space, because I think a lot of people that are listening right now are actually really interested in pursuing more than one industry, right? And I think you're a testament to that. So tell us more about that journey from switching from one industry to the next.
For me, it was more so like living by my own example, right? So whenever I would do personal finance education, I always tell people, in addition to having your job or in addition to finding ways to save money, you always want to set yourself up to where you're diversifying your ways of making money. Mm-hmm. And so it was more so one additional avenue of expanding my income and following essentially practicing what I preach, right? Yeah. So I always tell people, you know, learn to negotiate your salary. In addition to that, you know, find ways to learn to do just basic investing and, mm-hmm. you know, think of any talents and any sort of support that you could help solve other people's issues and use that as a way of being compensated for it. And that could be a way to start a business. Eventually turn that into investing into other things like real estate or any other investment vehicles, just because that's what I preach as a coach. And yeah. so for me, I kind of look around and I'm like, okay, I'm creative in this way. I have access to these types of things that are not available everywhere. And I know people, you know, everyone loves smooth skin. Everyone loves yeah. great skin. And so I'm like, let's take a chance on myself and see where this business goes. So that was kind of the initial motivation was to just follow what I preach. So I do investing. I do find ways to expand my income that comes from my career, my work, my corporate job. But the business side of things, like that aspect of wealth building and setting up something of yourself for mm-hmm. yourself, was more so what I had kind of not really been focusing on in that equation. So just kind of decided to focus this year on that and have been, you know, working on that ever since. And I mean, with your help, of course, we've been able to make progress and I've learned so much through that, through your coaching as well. So that's been really helpful too.
Yeah. And let's talk about that for a second, because I want everyone to listen to know that you were ahead of the game for the exfoliators that you're currently selling. Like, you were looking at those exfoliators and marketing them way before they came on the market for a lot of big box retailers, and you were way ahead of the curve. And I think that's amazing, because on top of practicing what you preach, you're able to see the trends and then get on top of that. And I want to talk about your results for a second, because I think a big part of building your brand in the e-commerce space had to do with, you know, switching from that mindset of the credibility. And, you know, you have been able to make sales even with a small following. Tell us a little bit more about how that journey was, you know, from creating a social media presence and still being able to make sales without putting in so much time into content.
Well, I will say that was a big hurdle for me. I was very apprehensive about outreach. You know, you always talk about DMing and selling in the DMs. Don't worry about content. Don't worry about followers. Don't worry about what's on your page, and just reach out to people in the DMs and start engaging that way. And for me, I'm like, no, if I'm going to go in somebody's DM, they need to have something to look at when they click my profile. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you and I had a lot of back and forth when it came to getting me to shift my way of thinking when it comes to understanding that you don't need a following to grow a business. You don't need a following to make sales. And for me, I was just like, no, I would not believe anyone who just came up to me and was like, hey, I have this thing I'd like, you know, benefit from. Mm-hmm. And then it was crickets on their page. But who knew? I just had to start understanding that I do have something to offer, even though, you know, right now my following isn't huge. I remember one time in one of our coaching sessions, you were really like on me about trying to push back on the way I'm thinking about this. And I think more or less had a breakthrough, because I was like, you know what? My page and my following is basically an exclusive club. There's not a bunch of us because it is exclusive. Mm-hmm. And that was the jump that I needed to make to realize, like, the people that are there are there. They're truly engaged. They're truly connected and care about the product and have seen results from it and have been able to, you know, purchase wholesale from me and introduce mm-hmm. it to their customer base. And so I think I just had to realize, like, I'm starting out. You don't have to start from, you know, a million. Yeah. Everyone starts with zero, you know, mm-hmm. and slowly build from there. So it just has gotten to a point where I don't even worry about following people or them following me. I just go into their stories, start engaging, go into their DM following that, and just let them know, you know, typically I kind of compliment them. I start with, you know, saying genuinely saying something that I find interesting about their brand and strike up a conversation that way. And then, you know, with the open-ended questions, and people are responsive. I've been able to get orders that way, even though we've wrapped up our coaching for the e-commerce aspect of things. I'm still continuing everything that you've shown me, and I've been able to kind of stay on track with, you know, just even if it's one DM a day, it doesn't matter how many posts you have on your page. You know, we talked about like repurposing or reposting my stories. If I have nothing else to post for the day, just go find an old story and then pull it out of the archive. So it's just been really good seeing the proof that, yes, you don't need even 1,000 followers to make sales. And you just have to talk with people and see where there's alignment. And often there is, and people are open and they'll set up calls with you. 10 minutes doesn't hurt anyone. 15 minutes doesn't hurt anyone to, you know, just pop in on a call and talk with you and figure out if there's some way that you all could support each other in business. So that's kind of been the mindset and the way of thinking that I've been holding on to. And then to kind of wrap up the answer, I also had to kind of make a shift of where I was thinking, well, no one knows what this product is. I know what it is, but most people have to be educated on it. And you helped me to kind of see the fact that I just need to realize how great my product is. And as long as I'm holding on to that thought, that energy is going to transfer every time I talk about it, right? And I think that was another shift that I needed to make, like, oh, they love it. They don't have to tell me they love it, but I'm talking to you knowing that you love it. And I think every time I hold that thought in my mind when I'm engaging with someone or I'm DMing someone or on a sales call, that tends to flow through the conversation. And at the end, and I'm like, you know, where are you on this? And almost always I get like, yes, I'm definitely interested. Let's talk again. And then they place their order. So it's been really fascinating to me, like, the fact that I've been able to just in the last few months launch this and kind of pivot into e-commerce coming from financial coaching. So anyway, that was a long answer.
You're fine.
I went through a lot of thought shifts during, you know, trying to launch this business and put things in place.
Yeah. And you've been so successful from, and everyone listening to this, the amount of pivots and just the mindset shifts have been amazing. And just so much gold you just dropped on everyone, from the mindset shifts to the industry. I really want to touch on the fact that, you know, with the lead gen process, with the DMs and sales calls, it's industry proof, because I remember when we did a demo and I was messaging from my own account to a skincare brand. I have nothing to do with skincare, just to show you how it works. They responded to me and we were having a conversation, even though they were never going to be my client, right? I just wanted to show you.
And I remember that because that was when I was like, I have no followers. Like, who's going to respond to me? And you're like, I'm going to show you. And then you did a screen share and like messaged one of my, you know, a target client or an ideal client of mine. And the next day you sent me that screenshot of them responding to you. And then I think that also helped it click for me, because it's like, oh, well, she has nothing about skin on her page. And the person's like, sure, you know, I'm willing to tell you all about my business. So it helped me know that if I always make it about them, they're going to be open to speaking with me. And if I'm coming from a genuine place, then it's always going to be a genuine conversation. One thing that I did want to add was, you know, learning to keep it moving and realizing, like, if they're not my people, they're not my people, right? If they're not my customer, they're just not my customer. And if someone, you know, I had a couple of times where the material that the product is made out of was a hurdle for some people to get over. They liked the idea of the product, but then thinking of, ultimately overcoming certain objections and mm-hmm. feeling like, well, I'm holding these thoughts in my mind of my product being so wonderful. Why isn't this conversation progressing how I want it to? Because I'm not talking to my client, and I just need to move on to the next, move that energy to something else. And the more conversations I have, the more chances I have to encounter my people, right? So really, that's another mindset shift. Like, you don't have to worry about the no's. You're only looking for the yes. So if you hear the no, okay, keep it moving and talk to the next one. So that was really helpful to kind of get help, to get your help to move into that way of thinking and stay there.
Yeah. Again, so much gold. Like, just even the fact that you touched upon this, it's almost the market research, right? Every time you DM someone or every time you're talking to your ideal client, you get closer and closer to understanding them and figuring out who they are, what they want from you. That goes into, if you do want to create content, you know how to, you know, market to them. And it just makes your messaging extremely clear and extremely strong. And another thing that I wanted to mention is how you were able to do this. You talk about, I want to highlight how when you had those mindset shifts and those breakthroughs, it would up-level your business. I remember every time we had a call or you had a breakthrough, like the results were instantaneous. I remember there was 1 month where I think you tripled your sales from 1 month to the next because there was breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. Yeah. And it's just amazing because a lot of the people, you know, despite what industry you're in, this strategy is great for a sales system. Tell us a little bit more about how it's been, you know, continuing this process, just getting on sales calls. How was that for you for like an e-commerce business, right? Just going from the DMs to actually selling, you know, your product in a sales call and talking to those people.
So I know that initially, just coming up with a sales script was like a block for me. I was just like, well, how am I going to remember this? And what if they say something different than what's on the script? I was really kind of getting bogged down on what the script said versus what the flow of the conversation is meant to be, right? And more so using that as a guide. So once I got more comfortable with just understanding that we're just trying to get from A to B, and this is how we could get there. And if they throw out a different line than what the script says, just understand what your end goal is and stay on track with that, right? So go off that on that tangent with them, but know that we're still making this left turn, right? We're trying to get to this little destination here no matter what. The other thing was, initially, I had it set up as a, you know, different phone calls or different virtual calls. And later on realized like my client base is more so wanting all the information up front. And so, you know, I was again getting stuck on, well, there's two scripts and for two calls, it's call number one, call number two. But they're already jumping into questions related to call number two.
Yeah.
And I keep telling them, hey, let's just talk next time. And it's like, no, they want to know now. They're interested. That's a good sign. Move into call number two into, you know, while you're still on call number one. So I think just kind of getting more focused on like, we are headed to a destination and whatever detours we take or whatever shortcuts we take, all of that is okay. It does not mean that you are like going outside of your business process. It just means that they're interested or not interested. And whatever it is, you just need to know what you're doing based on where they are on that spectrum of level of interest, right? So we always talk about it, try to quantify it, you know, help me understand where you are from like 1 to 10. And I already know that depending on what number they throw out is what destination I'm going to take them to. And so I don't even look at my script. I just talk through it. It's a conversation. I'm not glancing back and forth at my screen as I'm speaking with a prospect. And I've just been able to better determine whether this person will need two calls or one call before making a decision on placing an order. I think that's been really helpful, just not being too firm and dead set on just the technical steps of it.
Yeah, for sure. And I really want to touch upon what you said is like, you want to be authentic to and keep it moving. Like if people are ready to buy from you on that first call, like just not getting too bogged down in the weeds and just making it actually happen. And I know a lot of people, when they start out in this sales system process between DMs and sales calls, they're so, you know, laser focused on like, if they say X, you do Y. If they
correct.
And then, you know, the authenticity piece that you touched upon earlier is so important here, because there's only so much. These scripts and templates are really meant as a guide. And then you have to add your own personal touch on it, right? You're like, you're a person, you have your own personality and your own spin on things. And that's when I really saw the shine and the breakthrough happening, because you're like, okay, who am I? What would I say? And then that's when everything started falling into place, which was amazing, because that's when the sales started flowing and you were just like, okay, I have the framework. And then you made the framework your own, which was amazing. Yeah.
That is exactly how it went. I was very stuck on, well, they said something different. That wasn't in the script, you know, I'm just getting stuck. But yes, I did have to start making it my voice versus a template.
Yes.
That was a shift. That was a gap that I identified, like, okay, I think I'm struggling to get through these calls initially because it's not my voice. And so I had to move past like, okay, this isn't set in stone. This is you own it. You own it. So make it yours. It started out as a template. It's not a rule book, you know?
So
definitely, again, there was a lot of shifts that I had to personally go through to really, really understand what this lead generation process was all about.
Yeah.
But I'm just glad that I kind of made it to the other side of that. And now it's just at a rinse and repeat stage for me, where I can have like a goal. Okay, I want to make my goal is 2 to 3 prospects that I actually have like face-to-face, or in this case, virtual calls weekly. And I know what I need to do as far as how many DMs or what I even need to look for on their pages or on their websites before I start talking with them. You know, there's just all these different little things that I can identify to say, okay, there could be some alignment here. So the conversation is not going to take as many steps to get them to agree. Because I can almost identify them much better as I'm going along. So can I give you an example of one thing I've done?
Yeah.
So I kept having people who wanted like a certain type of material for their products that they were willing to include, you know, purchase wholesale to include with their product line. And I didn't have that because my product isn't made out of those materials. So the more I would get like those objections, and obviously I can't make it be a different material.
Right.
So I kept actually getting discouraged when I would run into that, even though I knew, okay, keep it moving. This isn't my customer. Find the next one. So now what I do as like a way of protecting myself from, you know, those vibe killers.
Protect their peace. Yeah.
Protecting my peace, I now look and really assess how they are packaging their items. And I can almost tell what sort of brand would want, you know, if I don't see any plastic on their page, if I don't see, if I see everything like is in craft paper and wrapped in like, you know, or they're highlighting like biodegradable, like, there's certain things that I started noticing different patterns of the type of prospect that would object to my material. And then I also, in addition, like if I can't find those things that I can identify them by, as soon as I see that keyword sustainability, because that's been like one of the things, they're like, well, I only use sustainable things. And I'm like, okay, so what does that mean? Are you talking about sustainable as in longevity or sustainable as in reusable, recyclable? So I started, you know, as soon as they say, well, are your products sustainable? Then I define it. You may define sustainable differently, but I define it by this. And so I do consider myself sustainable. And how do you define sustainability? And then at that point, we figure out if we're going to continue on the same path or we diverge from there. And it doesn't make me feel like, oh, I don't have what they need. It's just we just are different. We're looking for different things, and that's okay. So that's how I've been kind of protecting myself from getting kind of disappointed if they're like, well, your products are not made from what I prefer.
I think it's really important that you highlighted that just from the process of doing all this lead gen, you know, right off, you almost have a sixth sense of like, if you know they're going to be your ideal client or not. To get to that point of having that sixth sense of just like looking at someone's page and knowing if you're going to, your time is so precious. You just mentioned like, you do so many things. So the time that you put in to your business has to have a really strong ROI. And to make your time really, really efficient, it's the lead gen and learning more about your target audience so that you do develop that sixth sense that you just said, right? That you're like, okay, I look at them. I know if they're a good ideal client. If they're not, why would I waste my time? And I think that's where I see a lot of people getting stuck in the weeds, because it's just like, if you're targeting everyone and you're not super clear about your ideal client, of course it's discouraging because you're targeting the wrong people. You're not targeting your people, which I think
I'm learning how to identify my people. And when I can't fully figure out, still reach out to them, and I have my defense ready, if you will.
Yeah, I think protecting your peace is such a big thing, especially as an entrepreneur and a business owner when you're scaling and you're still building. And there's one more thing I wanted to touch on about authenticity piece that you mentioned a bit ago, is that when you really truly became yourself and throughout, I remember when we started working together, we had to work a lot on like language and really making sure that you were being you, right? And throwing out that corporate jargon that I think a lot of us used to have 9-to-5s or are still in 9-to-5s use. And it's like shutting that off. And then it's like there is 9-to-5 you, and then there's business owner you. And business owner you is really, really attracting, you know, your ideal clients who aren't into the corporate speak. Tell us more about that, like that shift in the language from going to corporate to, you know, more casual, being who you are, and how that's affected your sales.
I think one thing is to realize that we're essentially all trying to accomplish the same thing, right? We're all trying to find our version of success in business. Mm-hmm. And once that's our common ground, then we're pretty much all the same. And so there's no need to like put on any extra fluff.
Yes.
And don't be cute. You can just go straight. Yeah. Just go straight to it. Like, hey, you know, one thing I do is if they offer, you know, different things that I find interesting, I always say, you have such a nice variety of options. You know, I've been looking at your stuff. I wonder if there's any alignment here. Like, do you think we can chat about it?
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be like super casual where you're like, you know, cussing and talking all extra loose.
Of course.
But you know, it also shouldn't be like too tight and buttoned up for me anyway, where it's like, I'm talking to someone who's also probably a mom or someone who is probably just getting married or just getting out of college. Like everyone's just trying to make it. And so when I approach someone, I do want to be as genuine as possible and remember that we're all on the same journey. We're taking different routes, but we're all seeking to just achieve our version of whatever we're looking for, you know, as business women and men. But for me, I just think that it made more sense, especially when, you know, kind of going back to the script, this kind of relates to that, because whenever I was looking at the different templates that we started off with, I felt like I couldn't make too many changes to it. I was trying to really fit inside of those lines. But again, that was just starting to change my way of thinking and making sure, because I did do a few phone calls with the script as it was, and I was struggling to get through it. And so I think it's just ultimately, if you do speak like a corporate person and that's like the way you genuinely are, then that means you are being authentic, right?
Yes.
But obviously, if you don't speak that way, you don't have to be pretentious and approach people that way. You always want to be talk like how you talk, because what will happen is that you have to realize if you're building a client base, these are people you want to come back to you.
Yes.
These are people you want to, you know, have some sort of longevity with. So if you're starting off, you know, differently than who you are, it's going to be unsustainable of a business relationship, because you're not, at least this is my view. I'm going to say, speak for myself and say,
tell the truth.
I wouldn't be able to sustain, you know, presenting something that was not me. And naturally, like, I couldn't even sustain it for the first few calls because I was trying to use a script that wasn't my voice. So can you imagine trying to do that for months and years?
Exactly.
So it made more sense to, it makes more sense. It makes the process easier. It makes the transition from stranger to business associate and, you know, working together to help each other's business grow. It makes that transition and that progress and that evolution so much more natural, so much more easier when everyone's being themselves. Because at some point you're going to get tired of pretending and you won't be able to, I won't be able to keep that up. So I think that is really what's behind like making sure I talk how I talk. That way, at any point, you know that this is what you're getting and there's nothing is going to change over time.
Mm-hmm. You said it perfectly. Like how you start that relationship is what those, the clients that you're attracting with that, the clients that you're attracting are going to expect that. And then keeping on that facade that might not be you is going to be draining, especially when you're like running a business.
And there's plenty to drain you. So,
yes.
You know,
don't
creating a personality or a facade is not worth it.
I completely agree. I mean, I tell everyone like your niche is your identity. It really is, because that's the easiest way for you to succeed in business. And I think you just dropped so much gold on this episode. I want to ask you one last question before we wrap up. And
well, before you do that, I want to give you an example of being authentic, because I have little kids, very small kids, and you know, like the kind that depend on you for everything, can't do anything for themselves because they're baby babies. And you know, sometimes they'll sneak past their babysitter when I'm on a call and they'll come in here, and it's like,
This is what it is.
This is what it is. I have children. I'm trying to run a business and they are here in the meeting. Say hello, you know? So sometimes I'll put them on, whichever one of them sneaks in here, I'll put the baby on my lap and, you know, let them say hi. We'll take a little 5 second, 10 second, like, okay. And then I'm like, okay, well, let me take them back. And then I'll take them back out of my office. But, you know, and that's what it's going to be. And if those things come across unprofessional or irritating or unacceptable, then you know that this is what you're getting. And then you don't want to move forward with me, you know? So I think that is important to just make sure like yourself holistically, you're not putting forth something that's not real.
Yes, you said it so perfectly. And I know I've worked with so many moms, and I think what you're saying is going to resonate with so many people that are listening to this, because I think a lot of times it's like you're trying to hide different parts of your life, and it's just, it is what it is, right? What I wanted to ask is like, on top of the authenticity piece, just being more yourself in business, what's been the biggest game changer in your business? I think so many people are looking to, you know, pivot industries or like really go all in for their business. And I know even with e-commerce, it was something that you were sitting on for a while, like you were ahead of the curve and then actually making the pivot to go all in. What was the biggest game changer for you to like really focus on your business?
That is a really good question. So I think, I don't know if we would necessarily call it a game changer, but I really think, well, yeah, it is a game changer. It's just getting past the idea of if you're not a content creator business person and you're not like, you know, super duper keen on posting and all the things that the performance of social media.
Yes.
If you're not those things, that you also can have an online-based business and find success, right? You just have to go about it a different way and, to me, more effective way. And so I would say the biggest game changer was understanding that and being unapologetic, like, listen, I've got just enough posts on here to give you an idea of what this page is about. The rest is happening in the DMs. And that's all you're going to get from this lady, right? You might find me in the stories once a month, but because that's what I can manage, right? So I think, to me, that's been the biggest shift. And if we'll call it a game changer, then making that, like realizing that as a fact has been the game changer. I really was kind of hesitant to approach people, and I was hesitant to move forward with trying to pursue this goal of mine because I felt like I can't go talk to anyone if there's nothing posted on my page. I can't go talk to anyone if there's not thousands of people following me. Mm-hmm. And to this day, I don't even think my following has grown since we started talking. Maybe 10 people have
followed me. But your sales have. That's what matters.
I'm still booking calls every week, multiple times a week. And so it's only up from here in my view. And so, yeah, definitely I'm not about to be dancing. Like, I'm not about to be, you know, living on Canva. Like, I just realized my time was super limited with all the other hats that I wear. And so really, really deciding, okay, I get 10 hours a week to really bet on myself with this. Is that going to be spent making graphics or is that going to be spent in the DMs? And the DMs win every time.
I'm so glad that you shared that with the audience, that you can be a content optional business. You can have less than 100 followers. You can barely have like 10 posts and still make sales, right? You said it perfectly. And I'm so happy that, you know, this, you have a sales system that can work for you on a limited amount of time. You're still able to move sales again and again and again. And I know we could go on, but I think there's so much to this, like so much of a gold mine. And I hope everyone listening has enjoyed. Where can people find you? Tell us more, like, where can people message you? Where can people follow your journey? Where can people find more of your product?
Absolutely. So for the skincare business, it's at underscore Heritage Harbor on Instagram, and then it's Heritage Harbor on TikTok, which I have nothing posted on there at all. But so stay in touch with me on Instagram if that's something that you are also interested in or have some level of, you know, alignment with when it comes to skincare. And then also for financial coaching, my Instagram is Hey Afia, H-E-Y-A-F-I-A. It's just Hey and then my name. But so if someone has questions regarding like personal finance, that's where they'll find me. And if they have questions pertaining to body exfoliators for that skincare business, then it would be at underscore Heritage Harbor on Instagram. So yeah, definitely feel free to keep in touch. And it doesn't even have to be about personal finance or skincare. It can certainly be about whatever, you know, nuggets you picked up off of this conversation that maybe you want to delve into a little bit more, hear more about. And so feel free to contact me if that's the case. But yeah, I'm willing to, you know, offer whatever I can to help encourage the next person.
Yes, all the sage advice. And I'll link it all in the show notes. And I wanted to thank you. I'm so grateful to have you on and, you know, absolutely, just show people what's possible in multiple industries with someone that's, you know, taking over. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I'll take this moment to also thank you because I know we've known each other for a couple of years now.
Oh, and, wow. Yeah.
You know, I had to kind of go back to your old DMs to me, like how you first sold me on your services in the DM. And I kind of picked a few things off of there, like, okay, she did this and she did that. Like the way you sent like reminders for the call.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like, this is your reminder for our call in an hour. Yeah. I was like, hey, you know, I'm looking forward. Like I've been able to kind of follow our DMs from way back and looked at that too. Like, okay, well, that aligns with the script, but it's not exactly the script. So yeah. I'm going to pick up this little line that she used. So yeah, I definitely use like our old messages to mm-hmm. kind of tweak my own voice in that way. And just the big, big thing that I want to thank you for is just making sure that if I was either trying to go, you know, be down yeah. on myself or trying to come up with like a reason why something wasn't possible, you always, I don't even think there was one time where you never like called me out on some stuff yeah. or, you know, didn't like use that as a way to help me close that gap of like, well, this isn't possible. This is like, you know, a 10-foot jump. And you're like, no, it's actually like a 5-inch jump, but you're, you know, you got to do a bunch of 5-inch jumps, maybe, you know, and then eventually you, that'll add up to 10 feet, but you're worried about something that's way ahead of you. So I think you just do a wonderful job of like slowly kind of helping bridge the gaps that I had in my mindset. So I definitely want to appreciate you for that, Roma.
Oh, that means the world. Well, thank you yeah. so much. And
thank you.
Yeah, everyone else tune in and definitely reach out if you have any questions.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. And as always, feel free to DM me on Instagram and subscribe to my email list for daily strategies delivered straight to your inbox. I'm so excited to see you book out and hit those 5-figure months, 6-figure years, and build that 7-figure empire.